everybody else face. Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Jesse Hall is with us at the moment. Potentially will return during the episode, just as Jordan Love has like returned to prominence, really emerged for the first time. But no fear, I'm not doing a solo show this time. We've got a great guest with the Packers' upcoming game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Best time to bring on Full Press Coverage Chiefs managing editor, Braden Holacek. Braden, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kyle. It's definitely going to be a fun game Sunday night. I think a couple weeks ago, this was maybe a game that probably some people weren't really looking forward to. But right now, a lot of implications for both teams on this game. So can't wait to see what happens Sunday night.
Funny, my previous episode, I was for it before Monday Night Football, and I was kind of, can the Bears get this win? Can they knock this division opponent off? And sure enough, they did. Vikings lost. They're at 6-6. Packers at 5-6. Literally have a chance to equal them with a win against the Chiefs here. So if they can, I mean, the Vikings won the first matchup, I'm pretty sure. So they'll have that tiebreaker still, but there's another upcoming game there. So Packers' playoff destiny is kind of still in their hands, even though right now they're on the outside looking in. That this two-game win streak has been great. Jordan Love has played amazing. And Braden, I mean, we've had you on the podcast a couple years now, but it's funny that through that the MVP quarterback era that both our teams had, never had Aaron Rodgers versus Mahomes games. This will be the second time Jordan Love plays Mahomes.
Yeah, that Jordan Love game, it was kind of a weird one at the time. You know, it's funny how, ironic it is, I guess, you know, 2 years ago, before this season, probably one of the more up and down years the Chiefs offense has had with Mahomes. And now we're kind of in that same boat this year going into a Packers game. It was a close one. Defense did most of the damage, of course. I didn't think Jordan Love obviously looked too bad, but eventually got, I think, one interception on him, and then Mahomes kind of had a rollout and a pass just long enough to ice the game with the first down. So it's kind of funny how, you know, before this year, 2021 was probably their most up and down offensive year, and now we're kind of in the same boat again. They're coming off a decent offensive showing, but after some of those this year, they've always led to letdowns for Kansas City. So now it's about trying to avoid that and seeing what momentum they kind of build off of it.
In a funny way, it's really full circle for both teams. But to your point, I didn't even think about that, how that year in 2021, Tyreek Hill was still on the team, but he was used completely different that year. They weren't running him deep. They were, I believe that he set a career high, at least with the Chiefs, in catches, because he was getting so many short yardage dump off throws and, okay, do things after the catch. They really changed his role. But I think it also allowed teams to kind of defend more closely to the box and not worry about the deep threat as much. I mean, they knew Mecole Hardman would just drop it probably.
Yeah, it was one of those years. I think you kind of saw that two high safety look really start to bite the Chiefs. And I think they were trying to run a lot of crossing routes, but I don't think they really spaced the field that well in 2021. And you're starting to see, right now this year, you know, even before last week against the Raiders, I think they were trying to start over from scratch and with the play calling, at least try new things. So I don't think they've really failed to adjust. It's just, trying to find that success. And really, I think what they've done a good job is just ISO routes, getting guys open, one-on-one rather than trying to just have full pass and toss, concepts from one side of the field to the other. So, I think if they continue that, I think they'll be fine. It's just, it's funny that, you know, certainly I think they can get beat by any team in the league, any top team in the league, I should say, but it's always funny when the Chiefs struggle, it's usually more about, beating themselves. And obviously we've seen that with the penalties, the drops and the turnovers. So, it's kind of funny how simple it really seems to just fix those mistakes. But, as far as the play calling goes, it just seems like more isolated routes and obviously being able to stretch the field, I think, in different ways than they did earlier in the year.
And you mentioned drops. So there's a Packers connection here. Talk about full circle. I mean, I guess Mecole Hardman is now back on the Chiefs, right? After he was going to join Aaron Rodgers this year, that kind of fell through. So Jets released him back on the Chiefs. But his role is being filled currently by Marquez Valdes-Scantling as the deep threat who will just drop everything. Which, to be fair, he filled that role very well on the Packers. He was perfect for it. Of course, dropping everything is not good.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw a TikTok of all his drop highlights, you know, and it obviously went back to the Packers days. So I don't think Chiefs fans, maybe all of them, realize that. But yeah, certainly it's nothing new. I think it's just he's same kind of player he's been for a long time.
Man, he can get open really well, though. Oh, how many times is he wide open when he makes these drops, too? It's like, oh, it's so impressive, and then it's not. Unless he's playing in the championship Sunday, because his two best games have, on, I think, been the 2020 NFC Championship game against the Bucks, where I thought he might have honestly been the Packers' best player. He caught all four targets, and he was like at 137 yards, a touchdown. Probably shouldn't have just got four targets. That was the big argument there. And then last year with the Chiefs, as injuries kind of piled up in that AFC Championship game against the Bengals, he was really the main target, outside Kelsey, of course, but as a wide receiver, he had a great performance and then just disappeared. They won anyways. Good job.
Yeah,
Congrats, by the
really.
way. Congrats on winning. I guess I didn't say that, you're the defending champs, so good job.
Yeah, it was really both playoff games. The Jags game, he had the late touchdown when Mahomes was really on one leg at that point. I think something that was impressive with him in the Bengals game was kind of the underneath routes actually was just as important as some of the deep ones that game. So I think it's just one of those players that a veteran who knows what to do. Outside of the drops, I think he can be serviceable kind of in any role. It's just not going to be a player usually that has consistent results week to week. It's just when's he really going to be able to break out?
But anyway, the full circle aspect again for the Chiefs is kind of maybe returning to the struggles in 2021. Marquez Valdes-Scantling full circle. I believe this will be the first game he plays against the Packers, if I'm not mistaken. Or
I
did they
believe so,
face?
yeah.
They might have actually did. I think the Chiefs and Packers played last year. I think about it, because I think they were both the one seeds the previous year. So that conference crossover game, I think they ended up playing in. I'm not sure if Valdes-Scantling was active for that game or not. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm totally off on this. Aaron
I
Rodgers,
think
that was so long ago. This is Jordan Love era now. I forgot everything. No.
yeah, I think they played the entire NFC West and then was it the Pack? I think, man, I can't remember now either. I'm having
Because
trouble
I think the
remembering.
Packers were the one seed in 2021. So the 2022 season, they both, I think, would have ended up playing against each other.
Yeah, I can't remember now either.
But this might be Valdes-Scantling. I believe it would be his first return to Green Bay. He hasn't played at Lambeau since leaving the Packers. So he'll at least get
Right.
that to show the home fans that he's still the same MVS. But anyway, the Packers' full circle aspect of this is the fact that Jordan Love's first start in his career came against the Chiefs. Hey, it was that 2021 season, actually. I'm pretty sure. Yes. Yeah, it was his second year, I think.
Right. Yeah, it was funny to see all the memes that day from Jordan Love's mom, not being close enough to see the game,
That's right.
essentially
Yeah. I remember
having to sit
that.
up high. But no, I thought he commanded the pocket really well. Obviously still going to face a lot of pressure in a game like that against Spags, but no, I didn't think he backed down from it in that 2021 game and was still willing to attack, I think, to all areas of the field. Just some balls a little bit underthrown or a little off target, but as far as just I think his poison command and obviously something you've seen over the last month, probably when he's really gotten going, it's something that he has a little bit more than some other quarterbacks for sure.
Entering the season, I said he can run the offense. He can make quick decisions. If he's blitzed and he knows where the blitz is coming from, he'll know how to hit his hot read. He'll know how to like avoid it or slide the protection. Like, because those were things that happened in that first Chiefs game. There were so many, like, and Aaron Jones. When you can dump off to Aaron Jones, it's great. But I was impressed with, oh, Chiefs are blitzing again. We know Team Spagnuolo loves to do it. How often he would just find the running back each time and really quick and decisive. But it was the accuracy that was the question. This year, it started kind of similar. Okay, he can run the offense well. He's making decisive decisions, and the accuracy was inconsistent. There were times with some great throws that were pinpoint, others that, man, how did he miss a dump off to Jaden Reed? It's 5 yards away from him, and he missed him by 5 yards. But then what started happening, I found, was he started making riskier throws. He started like not seeing the open receivers and kind of throwing to some more danger areas, and he then started holding the ball on too long and taking sacks. And the decisiveness that Love had early in his career almost seemed to be going away this year, and almost at a certain point, I thought he was regressing. It's like, okay, this experiment's done. And then the Steelers game happened. They didn't win. They didn't put up 20 points, but I thought he made so many good decisions against such a great defense, and it really led the foundation to the two most recent wins against the Chargers and against the Lions. Jesse and I recapped on that on our most previous recent episode, the Full Press Packers pod, so you can check out our thoughts of that. But I would say these are the three best games Jordan Love has played, which prepares him for this, again, full circle matchup, reface the Chiefs again, his last start. And I think we were talking before the game, Braden, that was a 17-13 victory for the Chiefs. You already mentioned how close it was at the end, Mahomes needing to throw for first down, you know, inside the two-minute warning or just before the two-minute warning to ice it. Packers defense played great that day, and this Packers defense, in spite of the injuries they've had, in spite of starting an entire secondary of backup players, literally all five, including the nickel corner, were backups at one point this year. I think they will continue to be on. We'll see. Maybe Jair will return this week, but in spite of all that, this defense has continued to perform. So the Chiefs do end up facing a tough defensive test here, but one could argue the Packers are facing a tough defensive test in the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest thing for the Chiefs pass rush, you know, we've talked about Spagnuolo bringing the heat constantly. Sixth highest, I think, pressure rate, but getting home consistently, they've been able to do that. I think the second highest quarterback pressure rate, you know, just getting home and you know, hitting on those blitzes. So obviously the biggest thing with Spagnuolo is he's going to bring it from any and all angles, not afraid to bring guys from the second or third levels. Cornerback Trent McDuffie, I mean, he's really been a big X factor for the Chiefs, kind of coming off that second level, you know, off the edge, out of the slot. I think it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of test the Packers offensive line. Zach Tom, offensive tackle, is somebody I've probably been really impressed with since he's had to step in these last couple of years. And then you look at center, Josh Myers, you know, picked right in front of Creed Humphrey in the draft. I think he started to make some improvements as well. So it's just going to be interesting to see how that O-line holds up. But I think the fact that, you know, last week, Aiden O'Connell got the ball out quickly, made some good decisions. They kind of backed off on the blitz as that game went on and was still able to get home eventually. But yeah, it's just going to be, I think, one of those things on, you know, how does Love and this offensive line respond? How do they hold up? So, yeah, it's just going to be, I'm expecting Spagnuolo to bring constant pressure. It's just, how successful is that going to continue to be?
Damn. You telling me the Packers could have had an all-pro center in Creed Humphrey? And yes, Myers has done better lately, but early in the season, he was the weak link on the offensive line. And he's one of the few players I've actually seen Aaron Rodgers yell at among the Packers, even though there's a perception that he's like constantly throwing teammates under the bus and yelling at them. He actually like never does. I don't know why people just like make up that stuff and say that, but I legit remember one player he's yelled at, and it's Josh Myers for not snapping the ball quick enough. But you know, hasn't been great this year, but damn, you really tell me Gutekunst messed up by drafting a scrub player instead of an all-pro player at the same position. Like, he would never have done that with Amari Rodgers when he could have drafted Amon-Ra St. Brown. Oh, wait, that happened. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Just have to dig at Brian Gutekunst again. We do it every episode. We just
Oh, no.
Hey, Tucker Kraft caught a touchdown, so a third-round pick finally worked out-ish, sort of. DeGuire's okay.
Right.
The third-round tight ends, apparently. That's the only thing he can draft. If you've got third round picks, they have two this year. I'm pretty sure the Bills third round picks. So yeah, that's two more tight ends they have to draft. You can't draft any other position in that round for whatever reason.
No, it's I just remember that draft thinking, you know, when, because of the Chiefs, I think had two picks kind of in the same area there in that spot on day two. And when they didn't take Creed with the first pick, I honestly thought that might be where the Packers went. And yeah, I was a center, but just not Humphrey. And then we see him. I think it was the very next pick or within the next couple. So, you know, Nick Bolton and Creed Humphrey picked kind of close together. Just kind of something that obviously right away kind of turned out to be guys that probably could have went way earlier.
Even Trent McDuffie kind of coming in, you know, as heralded as what he's played at. It's funny, the Packers have that too with Isaiah McDuffie, only he's at linebacker, but he's had to play a lot more really the last month. But Quay Walker was injured and stepped in for that. Then Walker came back, Devontae Campbell got hurt, and so McDuffie's played quite a bit as a starting linebacker probably for almost a month now. So we'll see. Right. McDuffie's on the field. Maybe. We'll see. Maybe Campbell's back this week. Yeah, we'll touch on the injury report. But all to say, this Chiefs defense really has been impressive. So for anyone who my fantasy football content, you'll know I write the goal line guide article, and one thing I've been tracking, of course, is plays inside the five, offensive and defensive efficiency. And honestly, Braden, they had the longest streak where the Chiefs didn't allow a rushing touchdown inside the five. It went, it's, it, and only one team's done it so far, and they've done it twice, Eagles, and this unstoppable goal line rush offense. And that was one thing I was really looking forward to in that game was, okay, this Chiefs defense, had they've not allowed a score inside the five yet this year, on the ground, and they stopped the Eagles, and we got that answer. No, they couldn't. But that's it. Like, that's the only team, this, like, one of the greatest rushing offenses we've seen, certainly short yardage rushing offenses. And, like, that's what it takes to score on the Chiefs inside the five on the ground. So I think it'll be, all to say, I think it'll be really tough for the Packers to run on them. And, you know, if they get to the goal line, they get close, deep in the red zone, I think it's got to be through Jordan Love's arm. Because, I mean, I don't know if Aaron Jones is going to be back. He's one of the guys where I doubt it. But, I mean, I guess A.J. Dillon's questionable, too. Like, I don't really trust the run game, unfortunately, especially when it comes to short yardage run game. It'll be, like, maybe putting a lot of emphasis on Love's arm, even in short yardage to go situations.
Yeah, and obviously I think a big part of just the Packers setting up Love for success these last couple of games has been the play action pass game. And they've not been afraid to do that down there either. I think against Denver, he kind of had that wacky touchdown. I can't remember who caught it, but off a couple of deflections. And you know, last week he was 9 for 1,151 yards. With the play action pass game. So I think the Packers just found something with that. You know, they've been able to hit vertically, but you know, I think against the Chiefs, it'll be interesting to see if they need to hit more on quick passes. But as far as down there goes, I don't really think it'll be surprising if they still utilize that play action game, or at least the RPO game, against this defense.
Because, yeah, if Aaron Jones doesn't play, that's a huge guy that you could just dump the ball off to, and he can run for first downs through the like after the catch type thing. AJ Dillon's, he's not a liability in the passing game. He's not your ideal dump off back either. So, I mean, I don't think Patrick Taylor is, if that's what it comes to. So, I wonder, and what I've been asking for more lately is Christian Watson, instead of just running him deep on every play, which that worked last week, but do they start doing more stuff with him like they did last year, having him like do jet sweeps and run the ball? And maybe that's just because Rodgers didn't want to throw to him. So it's like, well, we got to give him the ball. So this is the only way Rodgers will do it, if it's a handoff. But it seems like they've completely changed that role this year, and you're just the designated deep guy. So I wonder if Watson gets more involved in the short game as a result of this, again, trying to create more quick throw hot routes, knowing how often Steve Spagnuolo blitzes. You saw 2 years ago with Jordan Love how they did that, and they've done all the time basically against everyone. So reasonable to think it's going to be a heavy blitz look for Love throughout the game.
Yeah, and kind of in that same vein, I think Jaden Reed's going to be interesting to watch. You know, been a guy that's obviously created a lot of explosive plays. You know, I think they've obviously found something really well with his usage. So that's kind of the guy I guess I'm really fascinated to just see. You know, maybe how many designed or quick throws he's going to get, and who on the Chief defense is going to be kind of match up with them if in those situations they're playing one-on-one man coverage for sure.
Playing out of the slot as well, the Packers seem to just be giving him a ton of like quick look throws really throughout the whole season. And he's, as the season's gone on, he's developed more routes downfield. So yeah, you're totally right. I think one of the things Jesse and I crowned on the last episode is we both think this offense now runs through Jaden Reed. And he is, it's not Christian Watson, it's Reed who's the alpha of the passing game, because they've been using him like they did Watson so much last year, running end arounds. Let's hand the ball off to him. Let's give it to him in space. Let's throw it to him deep. Like, kind of, you know, if they need to in the red zone too, he'll throw the ball to Reed in the end zone at times. So it just seems like as good as Watson can be, Reed is the guy for this offense. That's
right,
going to probably be long-term too, like this year, but also long-term. I think they're going to build it on him as the number one.
Yeah, especially I think when he's definitely the most explosive guy in that group, Dontayvion Wicks can kind of fill the same role in my opinion. But yeah, I think when you kind of look at the size that you have from Watson and Dobbs, and they certainly have some speed too, especially Watson. But I think for just explosive plays, definitely going to be, I think, the guy worth watching for Green Bay.
And maybe it's the nature of his routes, but it seems like Reed is the best guy at just getting open. He might not run the route the precise way, which is Romeo Dubs' biggest strength, I think, is his route running. Because he runs it just precisely and perfectly every time. But if it's well covered, he doesn't adjust to get open as well as, say, Jaden Reed does, who I think has really developed that. And probably the best Packers player at getting open. Watson can do the similar to that. A lot of it is his athleticism and his speed. He can just burn past guys, but it seems like Reed's got really good instincts to how, like, especially to attack zone defenses and slot receivers. That's one of the, kind of a given, but I think that's why they, from the get-go, have put Reed in that role, because they see how well he attacks zone defense and zone coverages. The man defense, especially if you get a good nickel corner on him, that's maybe where he'll get into some, you know, tricky situations. And I guess, who is the Chiefs, like, especially when they play five defensive backs, who do they usually play as in the slot as the nickel corner?
Yeah, usually it's going to be Trent McDuffie. You know, L'Jarius Sneed has kind of been, for the last, I guess, if not most of the season, or sorry, if not all the season, at least the last probably, you know, couple of months, L'Jarius Sneed's been kind of following the number one guy, which in this case, I would kind of assume is Christian Watson, just based on the size component, probably. He's obviously got a lot of penalties, but honestly, I don't mind some of them with how physical they're willing to let him play. And then you're usually seeing probably Jalen Watson on the other boundary most of the time. So usually it's going to be Trent McDuffie in the slot right now, but he's just as good, I think, outside. It's just right now, I think they're kind of willing to experiment him against kind of any and all sizes and any and all skill sets against opponents.
So, I mean, now we've crowned Reed, and it looks like it might end up being actually a tougher test for him relative to some other slot corners he's faced recently. All right, so now I want to talk about, actually, Jaden Reed again. We just talk about him so much here, but the comparison of, man, these round two wide receivers this year, you know, Christian Watson, actually both the Chiefs and Packers decided to double up, a round two receiver last year, a round two receiver this year. And Watson has worked out to a certain extent, or a lot better certainly than Sky Moore did last year, but it seems like the Packers and Chiefs really nailed the picks this year in the second round of those wide receivers. Jaden Reed, we've talked about. I think he's already surpassed Christian Watson. Rashee Rice looked like he surpassed Sky Moore week one.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because I mean, Moore coming out of Western Michigan, was a running back in high school, so still kind of new to the position, but I actually kind of thought with his route running separation ability, you know, with how intricate I think the wide receiver position is known for, how hard some of the concepts are for some people in the Andy Reid offense. I didn't think he would maybe struggle as much as he has, but still made some catches here and there this season, but definitely not probably what the team was expecting as a second round pick. But with Rashee Rice, it's interesting. He's probably been the team's best wide receiver, but watching the game back a little bit this week from Sunday against the Raiders, I think this is the most outside snaps that he's played, a little less usage in the slot, which is probably a good thing. I think for all the wide receivers on the Chiefs offense. So if he continues to kind of be used, I think in the way that best suits him more on the outside, like we saw on Sunday, I think he'll continue to kind of have those big games. You know, he's been producing well, but obviously Sunday his best game, 107 yards, had a big touchdown there, 39 yards on kind of a crossing pattern. So with Rashee Rice, I think his skill set's always probably been the highest ceiling of this current group. It's just little things like drops coming out of college. And we know, again, the Chiefs kind of near the top of the league in drops, but that was an issue for him back at SMU. I think he's cleaned that up a little bit. And really, I think he's just, from an instincts perspective, really taken to the game quickly as far as just how the Chiefs kind of attack also with this offense.
And one of the things I heard a lot, more from a fantasy football perspective this year, was, you know, people maybe not being so excited about Rice, especially from a single season perspective. People, I think, were excited for Dynasty, but the idea that the Chiefs, and Andy Reid specifically, really brings on rookie wide receivers super slow. I think one of the things that was pointed to was Sky Moore. And there were games last year where he was just not involved. Like, I think he had maybe five or six games without a catch or something like that, which was the most of any drafted rookie wide receiver last year. Because I guess the ones that really aren't good just weren't playing all the games to be able to do that. But it seemed like that was a pro argument for that. Mecole Hardman's rookie season, I think a lot of people pointed to, although I would argue that he was drafted to be a special teams guy more than they wanted him to be their primary returner. And everyone was, you know, there was off season situations with Tyreek Hill going on. And a lot of people were like, oh, he's the replacement, but wasn't so sure about that. But I think a lot of people use those two examples to kind of push down Rashee Rice. And my thinking was, I figured Kadarius Toney would step up more, but considering how poorly Sky Moore did last year, and you talked about like the production and the usage he had in college. Like, if you give me Rice's college profile and Sky Moore's college profile, I think I prefer Moore as a prospect. However, seeing what Sky Moore did, or for a lot of points didn't do in his rookie season, I kind of thought that was like a baseline expectation that just doesn't, like, even if Rashee Rice didn't have an amazing season, but just an average season, he'd probably be better than Sky Moore was last year. And again, it took week one. He scored a touchdown his very first game. It took Sky Moore until the Super Bowl to score his first touchdown. So my thinking was, oh yeah, he's already, this has already happened. He's already replaced Sky Moore. And this idea that they have to bring on rookies slowly, I don't think is necessarily true. I think just seems like Rashee Rice is just a better player than Sky Moore was last year and so far has been, or Mecole Hardman, whatever dreamed to be. So kudos to Rashee Rice. Again, it seems like the Chiefs nailed that pick, and he's not only been a good player coming in, but he's gotten better as the season's gone on.
Yeah, and I think he really kind of also I think the opportunity to really kind of take advantage and stake his claim was also there a little bit more in certain points than Moore had last year. You know, obviously last year, no Tyreek Hill, just like this season, but a little bit older group last year. You still had Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, with his 1 year run. So this year, I think even a little bit younger group. So I think there was even a little bit bigger opportunity there for Rice. It was just a matter of, yeah, could he out compete, you know, Sky Moore in that room? And obviously it didn't take really long for him to do that.
Yeah, so Reed and Rice, you know, read and write whatever you want about articles about them, but you know, both rookies performing well and both expected to be big parts of this upcoming game here. So be fun to see. They won't necessarily be on the field at the same time, but fun to see that type of duel. And you know, undoubtedly Rashee Rice is tied to the better quarterback, but the way Love's been playing the last couple of weeks, he's certainly minimized that gap.
Yeah, for sure. I think Jordan Love, I think the best thing is just the time that he had to wait obviously was a long time, but I think just knows how to approach the game the right way, obviously sitting behind Aaron Rodgers. So I think maybe not a lot of people recognize the poise and just the especially the last couple of weeks, the way he's worked in the pocket, kind of maneuvering and feeling pressure. So that's areas that I'm not really going to be too surprised if he's obviously carrying that momentum forward in those areas this week.
For sure. I think the one thing that he could control is how well does he know the offense? If you're on the bench and not playing, you can at least understand, learn the offense very thoroughly. And it's not like, I mean, there's little tweaks and changes every year, but this is the same offense Matt LaFleur has been running since Love's been in the league, since he was drafted. So he's been able to at least master the concepts, and he doesn't, you know, he understands what the routes are going to be. And maybe his struggles come after the snap where, okay, how does the defense react to these routes? You know, he might be in some coverages that he might not see. He's thrown a couple of really bad interceptions where he's just like throwing a linebackers in coverage. It's like, how'd you not see that guy? I mean, to be fair, Mahomes has done that too, but mostly against the Broncos, which is crazy. That that's just one thing that I found insane. Cause in my memory, Braden, and this goes back to when I was Chiefs managing editor and editing your articles, which was always a treat. And I remember there was one week where you couldn't do a game recap, and it was Chiefs Broncos. And that was one of the few games that Mahomes' first year as a starter where he, like, you know, held under 20 points and Case Keenum almost beat him. Maybe should have beat him, but he's Case Keenum, and he, you know, messed up and didn't see an open Cortland Sutton in the red zone. But part of that thinking was part of Mahomes just constantly beating the Broncos every game, yet every game is super close. They don't ever, like, put up 60 on them and it's over by halftime, like you'll see sometimes against the Raiders. Like, it was, I just thought it hilarious that was the biggest win streak Mahomes had, yet all of those games were like one score games, down to the wire, super close. Eventually that luck was going to run out. And we saw it this year as the Chiefs did split against the Broncos. So eventually right, that win streak was going to end. So I don't think it's too big of a deal, to be honest. They'll probably next year sweep them next year, because then we can start a new streak, right?
Yeah, for sure. And obviously even going back to the Alex Smith days, that streak, you know, they had some big wins with Alex Smith there too. You know, I think it was Christmas Day 1 year when they let Dontari Poe throw that touchdown late. You know, that was
in the red zone, right? They had the trick play, right? I remember that.
Yeah, so that was kind of the early signs of it. So it was nice to see Mahomes carry it for a while, but it's good that you can kind of almost forget about it now and hopefully start a new one day.
Because doesn't Justin Simmons, which is crazy, he's a linebacker, doesn't he have the most interceptions on Mahomes?
I think so, yeah. I can't remember the exact number, but I want to say maybe at least five or six.
So both quarterbacks have thrown picks this year, Love and Mahomes, to linebackers in coverage. So it's a little bit equal, but yeah, definitely. Oh, I would love if Jordan Love was equal footing with Mahomes, literally called the best quarterback in the league. So he's not quite there yet. As good as he's developed and as good as he stepped up over the last month, and there's still a bit of a gap there. But actually, I just want to say, what were your thoughts when the Chiefs just this past weekend were down 14-0 early in the second quarter and outgained 220 to like 13 by the Raiders? Were you panicked? Did you know? Oh yeah, they'll figure it out. It's the Raiders.
It's kind of funny. I guess the best way I could say it is a little mixed emotions because even some of the best teams every year we see teams that get to the Super Bowl, they'll go through a couple few games struggling and even if it's this late in the season. So at first I was like, it's not really that surprising. I think the Raiders with the coaching change have obviously been able to find some more competitiveness. So I at first it was like, if they lose this one, I still think they're a top two team in the conference, and depending what happens with some schedules down the stretch, I don't think it's crazy that they can still get the one seed. But yeah, it just goes back to kind of that success against the division, how some of these games, even at the NFL level, seem too easy at times, and for whatever reason, it just turned on a dime so quickly. So I don't know if I was really full panicking, but I would just say it was one of those games I wouldn't have been surprised if they won close, if they won, but to see them win by 14, it just seems kind of like old times against that division rival.
I suppose when it's not Jon Gruden or Josh McDaniels coaching, then yeah, okay, this new guy or even Rich Bisaccia, which again, thank you Raiders for letting him go, so the Packers special teams could exist and actually thrive, as opposed to being like league worst. Like the year before they hired Bisaccia, I remember looking through it and I was looking at like the worst DVOA special teams of all times, and like none of them came close to allowing as many kickoff return yards as the Packers did. They were over 2,000 on the season. It was just, what? Like, man, like I'm looking at some of these like historically worst, run DVOA. And I mean, like, some other special teams reasons. It's not just about coverage returns, but like some of these like worst ever special teams DVOA teams would allow, like, oh, they only allowed like 900 kickoff yards all season. That's like less than half of the Packers that year. So anyway, it was good to have Rich Bisaccia there. But part of my thinking too was, okay, there's no way, like, outgained by 200 yards, down by two scores early in the second quarter. There's no way the Chiefs will figure this out. And guess what? They're up two scores at halftime. So
Yeah.
it's like it's just it could flip on a dime, it seems. And Mahomes has had some of the best quarters of his career against the Raiders. I think of one year where didn't he have five touchdowns in a quarter against them? Like
I
they had
think
maybe
so,
a field
yeah.
goal
When
entering
it
the
was
second quarter, and then they're at 30 points at halftime.
right. Back when they were still at Oakland, yeah, it was like I can't remember if it was 10-0 or 7-0 Raiders, and DeMarcus Robinson somehow out of nowhere that was the guy that kind of got them going. So
Was that when Tyreek
I
Hill got hurt? Like he, I think was the
yeah I
week one against the
think it was the
Jags, so
first
they
game
had to
without him,
play the early stretch without him.
right? Yeah, that was the first week without him after being in Jacksonville the week before. But I think the biggest thing last week is we've seen Mahomes and this Chiefs team be able to come back from double digit deficits before, but really haven't done it this season. They haven't trailed big a lot, of course, but it's just they had chances against Denver, and that loss in Denver couldn't do it. So even though they've been able to come back in many moments before, I think that was a defining part, I think, of Sunday's win is finally getting over that hurdle for this particular season.
Yeah, because this hasn't necessarily gone the picture perfect Chiefs season that we've seen. Again, last year when they won the Super Bowl, just dominated as the one seed, and really the only question was, oh, what are they going to do against Burrow and the Bengals and Burrowhead and all that stuff. But like the Chiefs, for an 8-3 team, they probably haven't played up to that standard, which hurts. Okay, Chiefs, the process of results, the process hasn't been the greatest. Even the results are there, but that also speaks, even when they're not playing necessarily great, as good as we think they can, they're still finding ways to win games. That's a mark of a great team, which is dangerous for the Packers. That even if the Chiefs are struggling most of the game, Mahomes can just turn it on in the fourth quarter. So it's one of those things where even if the Packers get an early lead, they can't really take their foot off the gas. And I feel like no matter what the game script is, whether it's an early Packers lead or early Chiefs lead, this seems like a game where Love's probably going to have to throw it close to 50 times.
Yeah, especially when you talked earlier about, if Aaron Jones is back or not, AJ Dillon's situation. I was kind of shocked to see what the Packers depth chart was. I just wasn't really aware beyond that at running back. So, knowing that Patrick Taylor is kind of the next guy, it'll be interesting to see the usage of the running backs with who's out there. But yeah, like you said, 50 times a game wouldn't surprise me at all.
All right, so now we'll get to that fabled injury report, as we've been hinting at for a few times. And honestly, let's start with the Chiefs because it'll be quicker. We are recording this on Wednesday, November 29th, so we really just have one day's worth of injury reports. So it's still super early in the week, but for the most part, it looks like most of the Chiefs will probably be pretty healthy. Their top three wide receivers are all in the injury report, but they all practiced fully on Wednesday. So they're dealing, they're not 100% necessarily, but doesn't look like there's much risk of them missing. Kadarius Toney, Rashee Rice, and Sky Moore, by the way. It's all different injuries. Toney has an ankle and a hip injury. Rashee Rice dealing with a foot injury. Sky Moore, it's his knee. But again, all fully practiced Wednesday. So this early on, even if they have injuries, to not be limited at all, especially on a Wednesday, usually it'd be the Thursday practice. Teams would really want to get those guys set to practice fully. But if they're already practicing fully this early in the week, I know Tony's dealt with injuries basically his whole career, so he's maybe someone that you never really know with him, but it looks like, because he did miss last week, so do they hold
right.
him again?
I think
I'm
it was
sure.
Full. I think it was full all last week. I think at first it was only the ankle injury they were having on the injury report, and then the hip thing kind of popped up late in the week, last practice, I think. So it is, I think, two different things right now that but the fact he's full again, I guess it's a good sign. But again, with him, like you said, it's a little bit different case probably.
And a couple names we've all already mentioned: Legarius Sneed, full practice with his knee injury. Another defensive back, Brian Cook, at free safety, a biceps injury, but again, full practice. So looks like the Chiefs will have their entire secondary healthy.
Right. Yeah. I think Sneed's knee kind of goes back even to training camp. I don't know if he's been listed every week, but obviously that was something he was dealing with in training camp, but hasn't missed any games this year. And Brian Cook, he's obviously kind of been an underrated piece next to Justin Reed. So like you said, secondary has been, it's fully healthy, and it's been obviously a huge part of this team's success this season.
Donovan Smith, the starting left tackle, he's got a neck injury, but again, full practice. So looks like he's going to play. Looks like there shouldn't be concern there.
Right. Yeah. I think Wanya Morris, the rookie third round pick, he finished last week game in that spot. I actually didn't really know it was a neck injury when he left that game. But the fact he's full, like you said, should be a good sign for Donovan Smith this week, I would think.
Especially with the neck injury, those would be really serious. So not that any of these injuries aren't serious, but that's one you really want to not rush. And if they're already practicing them fully, it looks like maybe it's just a stinger or something. It's easy to pain manage. There's no structural damage, it seems. So yeah, Donovan Smith should be a go. I guess Nick Bolton, that's the big story here on this injury report. There's really two big stories, but we'll start there. Limited on Wednesday with a wrist injury. Now, he's missed quite a lot of the season, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Right. He actually had an ankle sprain, suffered week two at the Jaguars. So he missed a few games there. Returned the Thursday night week six game against the Broncos. So he returned two games, but then got hurt in that Chargers one with the broken wrist. So placed on IR, had the surgery right after that Chargers game. And early on, they were kind of expecting him to be back early December, which I guess is kind of when this Packers game would be. But I think for most Chiefs fans, they didn't really expect him maybe for another week or two. So we'll see if he's back. I guess, he's a tough guy, so it would not surprise me if he found his way back. But we'll see if the team plays it a little more cautious and returns the following week against Buffalo.
I would say just because of that, but also the fact that limited Wednesday, if there's two players on the Chiefs injury report that missed this week, the better guess would be he would be one of them.
Right. Yeah.
And knowing again, he's I mean, Donovan Smith, I guess, left the game and Tony missed last week, but he's coming off a lengthy absence. So there's really, really don't, and he's such a good linebacker. You know, they want him. He was so good in the playoffs last year. That's where they really want him for, is that playoff push. So they feel like if there's any compromise or risk at all, they'll probably just hold out for another week.
Right.
Now, the player who didn't practice Wednesday, the only Chiefs player not to practice on Wednesday with an injury, is Jerick McKinnon. That groin injury that caused him to miss last week. And that seemed to come up late in the week. Like, I don't remember him being necessarily on the injury report early. And was that something he suffered at practice last week?
I believe so, yeah, because I know he finished the game against Philadelphia. He had a couple touches early in that one, and then we still saw mostly Pacheco. But yeah, he had a couple touches in that Eagles game early. Even if he didn't get the ball, I think he was still getting some snaps here and there late. But yeah, I believe it was practice, and he's kind of been popping up here and there on the injury report. I believe last week was kind of the first time he was declared out. So it's kind of just been these nagging things here and there. I guess it's something I'm not really sure how to gauge if he'll be back Sunday or not. So kind of anyone's guess at this point with him, but usually a guy that's not missed much time, at least with Kansas City.
And I think of like last year, how they barely used him for most of the season. And then, okay, we're pushing for that one seed at the end. Suddenly he's catching every touchdown and he's more touchdowns than any wide receiver on the team, second only to Kelsey. I think it was like Kelsey had maybe 10 or 11 and McKinnon had 9 receiving touchdowns. Kind of ridiculous. And I think we started to see it the previous year, the 2021 playoffs. He kind of got more usage in that playoff run. And then same last year, they really sparingly used him throughout the start of the regular season, end of the year playoffs push, and through the playoffs when he really got usage. So I could see them, again, even more so than Nick Bolton, saying, we really just want to save this guy for the playoffs, so we're not even going to bother bringing him back. So I at this point, I'd actually be surprised if he plays this week. Whereas it seems like Bolton might be more like true 50-50. Sorry.
No, you're good. No, I would agree with that. I think, you know, a lot of the stuff McKinnon does too, very underrated. I mean, obviously everyone knows how good he can be as a pass catcher, but as a runner, he's kind of that more patient guy. And then even in pass protection, he's been able to knock some people down, and that's been a big help to kind of Isaiah Pacheco growing in that area as well. So with how much the Chiefs throw the ball, he's definitely needed in that area for sure.
So yeah, so that was the quick portion of the injury report, because this Packers injured list is quite large. And there's 3 Packers players not to practice on Wednesday. We've already talked about one, Aaron Jones with that knee injury. Honestly, when it first happened, I thought he's done for the year. And now that they've won a couple games and maybe comes back late in the season, but because of like early in the year with that hamstring injury, and they brought him back a little too quickly, and then he came back for that Thursday night Lions game, and that seemed like that was a huge mistake, because A, they got the crap kicked out of them anyway, so Aaron Jones made no difference. But because he took a hard hit early in the game, kind of got upended on a reception, and someone like literally flipped him upside down. Like, it is like unnecessary punishment to put him through. And guess what? He ended up missing, I think, the next 2 or 3 weeks, and he's come back, and now this knee injury. See the Packers being super patient, especially where running will be such a struggle against the Chiefs. You're less likely to rely on him in the run game, but you'd love to have him as a receiver. So it's the give and take there. But yeah, at this point, I'd be surprised if Aaron Jones played. AJ Dillon also didn't practice with a groin injury. And then was Patrick Taylor on the injury report? No, Patrick Taylor is fully healthy. So at least the Packers have that, Patrick Taylor out there. But yeah, we'll see about AJ Dillon. I know he's been questionable the last couple weeks with that groin injury, but he played through it. I don't think he's missed a game yet this year. So even though both running backs have DNPs on the practice report, I would say Dillon's a lot closer to playing than Aaron Jones's.
Mm-hmm.
And has Jaden Reed become so good that he's earned the veterans rest day on Wednesday? Probably not, because they actually list him with a chest injury, but Jaden Reed did not practice Wednesday. So now that we've crowned him as the alpha of the offense, oh, now suddenly he's out. But I joke about the like veterans rest day, but at this point, like, Watson and Dubs are technically more seasoned veterans than him by one season, because they came in last year instead of this year. But in terms of all the experience he's done route running and getting all the targets and receptions, he may as well be the vet in that receiving room. So has he earned the day off? I don't know. It does seem like this chest injury is, there's something there. Kind of like AJ Dillon, it's a DNP that I feel like they'll both play. So I guess we'll find out. They certainly, like, that's the like I don't really like AJ Dillon that much. I used to really like him, but this year he's been very disappointing. He injured Elgton Jenkins on a stupid play where I can't remember what game it was against, but the O-line opened the seams, third and one. All he has to do is run through the hole, and he like runs so close to Elgton Jenkins that he trips over him. Jenkins sprains his MCL and he misses like almost a month. Dillon falls short of the first down. They go for it on fourth and they turn over on downs. Like it was just like, what? They're in the red zone. This like should have been an automatic 3 points, let alone seven. And no, AJ Dillon just messed it all up. So yeah, so he hasn't been that great. All the rant saying Jaden Reed is a huge piece. They at this point they cannot afford to have him out. So that's what I'm really hoping plays. Yeah, likewise on the team, looking through just the rest of the team. So Dontavian Wicks, who you mentioned earlier, Braden, he actually missed last week's game with a knee injury. Limited to start Wednesday, so I don't know if he's in line to come back necessarily, but that, I guess, especially if Jaden Reed can't go, that would be huge. If he can't go either, then it, I mean, that's a ton towards Christian Watson, a lot. You know, we reemerge or reintegrate Romeo Doubs in the offense as like this key piece, not just a red zone piece, but kind of all over the field option more. And then the rookie tight end, Tucker Kraft, because Luke Musgrave is on injured reserve. So, yeah, those wide receiver injuries are going to be, I guess, key to monitor. I guess Malik Heath came in and played like the Dontavian Wicks role last week. And he did pretty admirably. But if both Wicks and Reed are out, then, yeah, Malik Heath's going to see a massive role in this team, I think. Yeah, so looking elsewhere on this injured report, there's quite a few names. I guess we could start at the front of the defense. Yeah, no O lineman on the list, so that's good. But Devontae Wyatt has a heel injury. He practiced fully. I believe he left last game with this injury. So the fact that he's already practicing full, I think it's a good sign there. Kenny Clark limited with a shoulder injury. This has been a couple week thing. He was limited last week and ultimately played pretty good through it. So I imagine Kenny Clark's fine. They're just gonna, he's such an elite player that he doesn't really need to practice. He's already at that stage of being that good. Because he's someone they really can't afford to miss. Same with Rashawn Gary. I mean, those are your two best pass rushers, one up the middle, one on the edge. Gary's limited with a shoulder injury. Good to see it's not the knee that cost him the end of the season last year, the ACL tear. So we'll see if Gary's okay to go with that shoulder injury. Again, it'd be Ian Clark are so vital, especially to getting someone like Mahomes down. He's so good at avoiding, especially the edge rushers. It seems like you need someone like Clark to just go up the middle and kind of surprise him almost. But surprise him, flush him out, and let Gary sack him. That's the ideal plan, I think. So both need to kind of be healthy. So both limited. We'll see how they play through that, but that's the strategy. Clark and Gary, that's the Packers' plan. I guess, yeah. Linebackers, I guess Gary's technically a linebacker, but Devondre Campbell, limited with that neck injury, so maybe he returns. Maybe McDuffie doesn't end up getting the start opposite McDuffie on the Chiefs. I don't know if they're related. I'm not sure. Linebacker
and
corner? I don't
think so, but...
No, I didn't think so either. Different body types. And just again, linebacker versus a corner, right? Like it's tough to think that one brother will be a linebacker, one brother will be a corner. I mean, we've seen center and tight end. You know, that brother combo is pretty good, but that's because Travis played hockey. Let's be real. It's all about the hockey. I guess the defensive backfield is where things get really interesting. So I already mentioned earlier, the Packers are on like backups across the board. All these starters are actually on the injury report, but in limited fashion. So that's good. Jair Alexander has missed several weeks with a shoulder injury. He's limited. I think that'll be huge to get him back. He might be the guy that's covering Rashee Rice a lot of the time. Rudy Ford has been out for a chunk of the season as well, limited with a biceps injury. And Jesse and I actually touched on this last week. Rudy Ford is okay. Really good on special teams. Decent as a corner, as a safety. He's not a liability, but he's also not elite. Mm-hmm. The game Jonathan Owens just had against the Lions, I don't know how you take him out of the lineup. So, because the other news is Darnell Savage, he practiced fully with that calf injury. So they might actually activate him off injured reserve. And you've got to figure that the first rounder, everything he's put together, if he's healthy, he's back in the lineup. But I could see Rudy Ford being relegated to a backup and going with Savage and Jonathan Owens as the main two safeties. Maybe the Packers play it. You don't lose your spot to an injury, but I don't know that it's injury. I think it'd be play because, again, I haven't seen Rudy Ford have a game like Jonathan Owens just did against the Lions. So I'm all in favor of Owens remaining in the starting lineup and relegate Rudy Ford to a backup. Heck, maybe Savage, you get patient and you don't activate him. Even though he's practicing fully, you still don't activate him off IR. And you put Ford in, but then you keep Jonathan Owens as one of the starting safeties. I know Jesse kind of agrees with me, but we both feel just Jonathan Owens has to be in the starting lineup. I'm sure Simone Biles would agree with us. If she's got an opinion, it's probably really smart. Decorated Olympian and all. Even if it's a biased opinion. But I mean, the results show, though. Jonathan Owens is great. So he certainly had a great game against the Lions. So we'll see. Like, all three of those defensive backs could be back, or none of them could. And you know what? Eric Stokes limited with that hamstring injury. So I was starting to feel like we're never going to see him the rest of the season, but maybe all four of these guys come back. So it's a little tricky for the Chiefs to know like how to expect those coverage matchups, but I think it's probably easy. Like it's, you know, the defenders have their assignment, the receivers have their assignments. They just got to run those routes, and that's more up to Mahomes to kind of find those ideal matchups or find who's open. So I feel like it's worse the other way. If a bunch of receivers are questionable, you're not sure, like, how do the defensive backs prepare? That's probably trickier, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think, especially, I think when you talk about, I guess, an offensive attack like the Chiefs, where usually just a lot of pretty snap motion and you know, guys are not going to be necessarily locked into the same spot lining up on the field every time, like Matt Canada's offense when he was with the Steelers, or, you know, something like that. So
if you call that an offense,
agree. Right.
I mean, hey, you know what? I can't say anything because Matt Canada's Steelers beat the Packers. So there we go. With Kenny Pickett barely doing anything. It was not fun. Steelers defense is amazing. That's the takeaway there. Yeah. So I guess I think I've covered most players in the injury report. The only one I have it is Jashai DeGuara. So with Musgrave on IR and DeGuara missing last week, the Packers were a certain extent limited in how they could run their offense. They don't have a fullback on roster. DeGuara as a tight end basically doubles as their fullback. And I don't think they really signed anyone to kind of play in that role. So that's sort of, okay, we're not running with a fullback. Again, they're playing the Lions. That's such a tough run team to run against anyway, that the best thing to do is probably just pass heavy anyway, kind of similar to this week against the Chiefs, I think. So if DeGuara is back, that's good. Do you think Tucker Kraft is still going to be the main pass-catching weapon from a tight end perspective? DeGuara might play more snaps just because of how good he is at blocking, and again, how much they play him as a fullback. So you might see some quote-unquote 11 personnel that really looks more like, or sorry, 21 personnel, it looks like 12 personnel. I can't remember. 21 is two running backs. It's 12. Yeah, it'll technically be, I guess it's, I don't know which one is which. DeGuara is kind of both, right? Is he a tight end? Is he a fullback? Does he count as the first number or the second number? I guess he kind of counts as both, but that'll be that personnel package we might see a lot more of, having a fullback if DeGuara can go. He was limited with that hip injury. So yeah, I don't know if you're too worried about the Packers if they have a fullback or not, to be honest.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say. It feels like, you know, more teams going with less fullbacks. I know Denver obviously used theirs a little bit, you know, in the Chiefs game at Denver. But yeah, I think you're really just kind of in those red zone or short yardage situations is probably where I would worry the most.
Long gone are the John Kuhn days, that's for sure. It's that the Packers do not have a John Kuhn on this team. I know, like, I think once he left, they kind of had Aaron Rutkowski for a season or two, and then they decided, yeah, this isn't even worth having on a roster. Let's just get tight ends who can block, and we'll convert a tight end to fullback. Yeah, DeGuara's done well in that, to be honest. The up until this year, the only third-round pick that Gutekunst made that wasn't a complete disaster was DeGuara. Kraft hasn't really done much, but he came in big last game, got a touchdown, his first touchdown of his career. So, again, that's two third-round picks that have at least seemed to work out at tight end, so Gutekunst can do something right. Oh, one more player, Robert Rochelle at cornerback, who I'll be totally honest with, I don't even know who that is, but he's on the Packers injury report, so he's on the Packers roster. He's limited with the calf injury. If everyone else comes back healthy, they'll probably just hold him out. Even if he's healthy, he'll be out as a healthy scratch. Like, he'd only factor in if everyone is hurt, if Stokes and Jair are both hurt again. One of them comes back, I don't see him being active anyway, even if he is healthy. But yeah, that's why he's the last guy we'll talk about in the injury report.
I knew who he was. I just didn't know he was on the Packers now. I know he was drafted by the Rams a few years ago, kind of smaller school guy. Central Arkansas, I believe. So just didn't realize he was not with the Rams anymore. So
I'll give Jesse credit. I'm pretty sure he knows who he is because I think he mentioned him a couple weeks ago. As that, with Jair out, he'll have to play it. I'm like, okay, sure. Cool. One name I did forget to mention on the injury report is Keyshawn Nixon. So finally, all these, they've traded away their slot corner into Rasul Douglas. So effectively, Keyshawn Nixon is the starter now. But that was my whole point earlier when you had literally five backups on the team, Nixon was one of them. The other four were because of injury, but the Rasul Douglas not being there was because of a trade away. So effectively, that made Keyshawn Nixon the starting slot corner. And I thought he had a great game against the Steelers, and he's continued to do so. He was an all-pro kick returner last year. He still returns really well. Still their best, especially kickoff returner at that. But yeah, him kind of maintaining that slot corner role, that looks like that's something that's going to be long-term for him. Like, I don't see them going out and signing specifically another slot corner to replace him. I could see, if anything, it's Stokes hasn't lived up to the first round pick. We're going to bring in another corner to bring competition to the outside. But we'll see. Maybe Keyshawn Nixon misses this week again. Limited this right now, limited Wednesday with that wrist injury. Yeah, we'll have to see how it all plays out. But Braden, I thought this episode played out really well. I thought we talked about a lot of great topics, and I know you do a lot of great work for Full Press Coverage Chiefs and Full Press Coverage in general. So why don't you let the people know just a quick sample of some of the stuff you do and where they can find and follow you?
Yeah, for sure. First off, thanks for having me on the show. It was a great episode. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Braden Holacek 9, at FBC Chiefs as well on Twitter. Right now the last couple of articles I've gotten out kind of looked at Jordan Love's improvements and kind of just what's led to that this last month or so, how the Chiefs might have to attack him and maybe alter their game plan a little bit defensively on Sunday night, and then just yeah, kind of talking about just the Chiefs, after some other good offensive performances this year against the Bears, against the Chargers, they had letdowns the next game. Coming off a decent performance for 2.5 quarters at least against the Raiders, we'll see if the offense avoids a letdown this time, or if it's going to be kind of the same back and forth kind of seesaw Solomon dance we've seen most of the year. But I was at least I think more excited about how they use some players and kind of like I wrote about in there. Travis Kelce, Rashee Rice, Isaiah Pacheco, those were their top target getters in the pass game last week. I think that's just for better or worse, their best offensive skill players right now. So I think if they kind of rely on those guys, maybe they'll avoid another letdown. But yeah, that's kind of my first couple articles of the week. I'll have some more outside of Chiefs stuff. I'll have a betting article as well on Friday that I've done weekly, kind of looking at my favorite picks for the money line, the spread, and a few player props as well. So always fun to do that one along with the Chiefs stuff. But like I said, can't thank you enough for having me, and it was a fun discussion.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, that's a balanced offensive approach. One tight end, one wide receiver, one running back. All three positions are dominating. But to be fair, you haven't mentioned, I guess you referenced Pacheco a couple times, but the Packers' run defense has struggled enough at times this season to where if Pacheco just goes and has a dominant game, that's going to be something that really sets the Packers back. Time of possession going in Chiefs' favor and some potential scoring drives. You had a couple rushing touchdowns last week against a pretty tough Eagles' run defense, to be fair. So, but Pacheco has. I even thought entering this year, okay, with Clyde back in the mix, like do they split work? And no, this is Pacheco's backfield fully. I thought even with McKinnon out, okay, do we see more Clyde this game? Nope, we'll just throw it more to Pacheco. So it seems like that's been the recipe the last couple of years is tons of receptions to whoever's out there at running back, whoever's happens to be on the field at that time will likely be a dump off targeter. And yeah, so Pacheco's done fantastic. Man, that was a pick. Like the seventh rounder, he's been way better than most of the running backs taken in front of him last year. So kudos to the great Chiefs pick. But anyway, you're a great pick as a guest here, Braden. So appreciate having you on. You can follow everything Full Press Packers at FPC_Packers. I'm at Senra Says, and I'll share Jesse's final message that he does every time. Sorry, Braden, but go Pack go. But anyway, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you all the listeners who listened to this episode of the Full Press Packers Pod.